You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Hopefully, you guys had a fantastic weekend. Hopefully, you had a fantastic Mother's Day. We got a lot to get into in today's show. It would appear that we know week one for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about their matchup coming up in week one against the Los Angeles Chargers. We also know what the first game of the season will be this year in the entire NFL. The Dallas Cowboys are going to head to Philadelphia to take on the Philadelphia Eagles as they raise another championship banner for them. There is a lot to discuss in today's show. Before we get to any of that, I want to ask you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you guys listening to the show each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you could tell two friends. I mean, I'd appreciate it, but you know what? Beggars will not be choosers. I will simply ask for you guys to tell one friend to check out the show this week, and you know what? We'll be good. This is where I think we need to start the show today. We will get you guys a random lineup coming up in just a little bit. I think we need one after the weekend that the Royals had. I cannot lead the show on Friday talking about attendance and feeling like that is a litmus test to where you guys are with the Royals and then not acknowledge that you guys did your part this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. Rob, you wanted to see 30,000 people go out on Friday to support the Royals. I made the point on Friday that I didn't think that there were too many cities in America that wouldn't get 30,000. I was really curious to see if fans had that level of buy-in with this year's Royals team. There is no question that you do based off of what we just witnessed at Kauffman Stadium this weekend. If you want to put things into comparison, the Royals did better this weekend than they did last year for Big Slick weekend, and we know that is a major part of the Royals' schedule. You got 30,000 people out there on Friday. You got around 28,000 people out there on Saturday. And you had around 25,000 people go out there on Mother's Day to watch the Kansas City Royals. So there is no question that you guys showed up. There is no question that you guys did your part. There is no question that you guys are bought into what the Royals are selling. Just a little disappointed that they didn't win that series. Now, I don't know if this is going to be deemed as being negative about the Royals, and I certainly don't feel that way, but to me, this is just simply an observation of watching this year's team. We have seen the Royals now play 42 games. We are a quarter of the way through the season, and some of the issues that the Royals have are just not new issues that have popped up in the last 42 games. No, this is something that we've seen dating back to last season, that at this point, I think we just need to be pretty honest about where the Royals are. I think it is clear that the Royals at some point this season are going to need to make some kind of move to give themselves a little bit more punch offensively than they already have. The winning streak was great. The run that this team was great. And just because you lost this series against the Red Sox, it does not mean that all is lost. You're heading to Houston to take on the Astros. You got the Cardinals coming into town this weekend. So the Royals are still in a very good spot, are still playing very good baseball, and are still one of the better teams in the American League. But I think we've seen enough Royals baseball to know that this version of their offense is always going to be inconsistent. And at some point, you are going to need to do something I would deem to be drastic in order to change it. Yes, Mikel Garcia has turned things around. Drew Waters is an improvement. Yes, they need to get rid of Hunter Renfroe. There are some things that you can potentially do in the meantime. But eventually, I believe the Royals are going to come to a crossroad as an organization. They have an abundance of starting pitching. Major League Baseball is usually looking for quality starting pitching. And a guy that you trust can give you 5, 6, 7 innings, a guy that you feel can be a staple in your rotation. At some point, the Royals are going to be faced with a decision, a different decision than they've had in years past, but a similar one in a lot of ways as well. At some point, the Royals had to trade something that they really liked or something that they really coveted for offense. I think they're going to have to do that again at some point. I'm looking at the Royals. I'm watching their offense. I'm seeing how up and down it is. I'm seeing how inconsistent that it is. I think in some ways, this is who the Royals offense is with the pieces and parts that they have. Now, you can be fine with that. And this can still be a team that wins 85 games, wins 86 games, competes for the division, has a chance to make a little bit of noise in the postseason. But I think we've seen enough Royals baseball over the last year and a half to know that their offense and the inconsistency of it is always going to create a glass ceiling on what they can accomplish. That their starting pitching is championship ready. Their bullpen, in a lot of ways, is championship ready. Their offense is always going to lag behind, and it has for quite some time. Yes, they will have a stretch in which Salvador Perez hits well. They'll have a stretch where Vinny looks like the Vinny that he was last June, July. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the best hitters on the planet. They have individual pockets. But I also think you see that a series like this against the Red Sox, against a team that has the ability to hang a 10 spot on you, the way that they did in Saturday's game, the Royals just don't really have that. I don't know if there's a stat that is more indicative of where this team is than the one that Rob found. The Royals have scored at least 4 or more runs in 16 games this season. They're 15-1 when they do that. 4 runs puts you at average. We're not talking about the Royals going out here and being some incredible otherworldly offense. We're talking about them being an average offense. When they get 4 runs a game, they are 15-1. When they score 3 or less runs this season, they're 9-17. We can talk about the rotation. We can talk about Angel Zerpa. We can talk about Sam Long. We can talk about whatever you want in relation to the pitching. The issue for the Royals in May is the same issue that it was for this team in September. The same issue that it was for this team in October. The same issue that has been there since the beginning of the season. They are 26th in runs. They're 60 runs behind the Detroit Tigers, who lead this division. It feels they are always going to be playing catch-up with their offense until they do something drastic to try to change it. We are a quarter of a way through the season. I'm not throwing this season away. In fact, I think the Royals are a pretty good baseball team. I think they're going to be pretty competitive. I think they're going to be there. If John Sherman is serious about giving this team an opportunity, as he said, to get into the dance, to make a little bit of noise, to be able to pull off the upset, it's tough to do that when you're 26th offensively the way the Royals are. It's really tough to do that when you got a bottom 5 offense in Major League Baseball and you have very, very thin margins and not a lot of room for error. So we'll be joined by Robert Ford coming up in a couple of minutes. I do want to talk to him to get the Houston Astros perspective as the Royals head to Houston. Again, they got the Cardinals coming into town in a couple of days or so. I expect, especially if the weather holds up and looks like how it's been the last few days, they'll have another big weekend out there with 30,000 people. Over 80,000, I think it was 85,000 people went out to the stadium over the course of the last 3 days or so. So you guys did your part. I now think it's time to ask the owner, hey, we've seen enough Royals baseball here to kind of know what their issue is going to be. So whether it is Stu making a significant trade that looks like it's going to hurt a little bit in the short term, or you got to be willing to add some payroll and go out and spend a little bit of money. But I think the Royals are missing one quality bat, and we'll try to figure out where that bat could potentially come from. All right, Robert Ford's going to join us coming up in just a bit. But before we get to that, you know what? It was a beautiful weekend. Why don't we celebrate it with...
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be...
Ken, today's Random Royals lineup takes us back to when times were really actually bad. Not just, hey, they lost a weekend series bad. I'm talking bad, bad. Today's Random Royals lineup is from this date in 2023. Here's your Random Royals lineup. Leading off at shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr.
Okay.
Batting second.
I like my random lineup with a little bit more nostalgia than this one.
Batting second, the DH, Vinny Pasquantino.
Okay, hitting second.
Here comes the nostalgia, because batting third in left field, Edward Olivares.
Oh, boy.
Batting fourth, the right fielder, MJ Melendez.
Hey, that's nostalgia at this point. One day we're going to look up and be like, hey, whatever happened to that guy?
Batting fifth, the second baseman, Michael Garcia.
Hey.
Batting sixth, at first base, Nick Prado.
Hey, whatever happened to Nick Prado? Is he still in the league?
I believe he's in the Royals system, maybe?
I ain't heard that name in forever. Nick Prado.
Remember when he was drafted, he was supposed to be next? And baseball drafts are hard.
I mean, he was next for the Omaha Storm Chasers.
He was that guy in Double A.
He was, for sure.
Speaking of people who are going to be that guy, the seven hitter at third base, Hunter Dozier.
Ooh, Hunter Dozier, a.k.a. Hunter Renfro.
Batting eighth, the center fielder, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Hey, Jackie Bradley. Royals fans were high on Jackie Bradley when they first got him. Let's not forget, the Royals also like Jackie Bradley Jr. too.
And batting ninth, the catcher, Freddie Fermi.
Hey, he's still around.
The Royals lost on this date in 2023 to the Milwaukee Brewers because the following hodgepodge of pitchers didn't perform well. Josh Taylor, Max Castillo, Jose Quas, Josh Stamont, and Amir Garrett.
Yeah, I actually agree with this texter here, 913-586-7965. C-Dot, I think a random Royals lineup should be 5-plus years old, in my opinion. Yeah, I'm making an official decree here. We cannot have a random lineup post-COVID. It's got to at least be a pre-COVID lineup.
You're telling me a lineup that features four guys still in the major leagues and a bunch of also-rans is not random?
Yeah, no, this isn't. Yeah, I agree with the texter here. A random lineup's got to be a pre-COVID. I'd rather hear a 1974 lineup than hear the 2022 Royals lineup. I mean, there's a reason why we don't want to talk about Edward Olivares, Nick Prado, Jackie Bradley Jr. That's just not giving me the nostalgia I need. Texter, good job. You know what? I've got the ability to make this rule. We're making a rule now. No more post-COVID random Royals lineups. We got to lead. If we're going to do this, we need a little bit more nostalgia. I want to go on a little bit of a journey. Don't nobody want to go on a journey where Edward Olivares was hitting third for the Kansas City Royals. I have purposely tried to forget that time in my life. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by our guy, Robert Ford, who does the play-by-play voice for the Houston Astros. The Royals got a series down in H-Town. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's take a quick look at the Royals' opponent for the next 3 days. Let's head down to H-Town and be joined by Robert Ford, who is the play-by-play voice for the Houston Astros. Robert, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Carrington. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Happy to have you on the show today. Let's start with this about Houston, and I'm obviously looking at this from the outside looking in. Houston always finishes strong, but they always start the year a little bit slow. Why is that?
Well, last year they started slow, started 7-19, but previous years they were, you know, I mean, maybe didn't get off to a great start, but at least were hovering around 500 over the first month of the season. I think sometimes it just takes teams. I mean, it's rare for teams to just get out of the gate, you know, and win 20 of their first 30 games or something like that, no matter how good you are. So sometimes it just takes a little bit of time.
Right now, we're talking to Robert Ford, just getting a little bit of a feel for the Houston Astros. You guys are in second place in the division. Seattle leads the division. You guys are tied with the Athletics. I don't know if they're the Oakland A's or the Las Vegas A's. I don't know if we know what their team name is right now. How do you kind of handicap Houston in their division?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things until somebody knocks off the Astros, I think it's hard to pick against them. But with that said, you know, you mentioned the Mariners. They're off to a really good start. And now that's a team that often gets off to slow starts, but they've gotten off to a really good start, even with a bunch of injuries. That A's team is certainly much improved, and the Rangers certainly have a lot of talent. If they ever put it all together, they could make a run. So I think, you know, the Astros have to be the favorite just based on previous history, but I think there are three teams that could potentially win that division.
You mentioned that it's tough to pick somebody else in that division until someone knocks them off. We're certainly aware of that here in Kansas City. What is it about Houston as an organization, as a franchise, that has led them to be so consistent over the last 8 to 9 seasons?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, obviously having really good players. You know, that's number one. I mean, you think about all the talent that's come through the Astros over the years. A lot of it has since left, but you know, you think over the last several years, you know, Jose Altuve is still there. You know, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker were there the last several years. George Springer, Carlos Correa, if you go back further. So that's a big part of it. I also think the Astros have been really good when it comes to making pitchers better, whether it's pitchers they develop in their own organization, like a Framber Valdez, or pitchers that they get from other organizations who they were able to help either get to the next level or really improve. You think about what Gerrit Cole did when he came over to the Astros in a trade. You think about Justin Verlander, who was already great, won two more Cy Youngs with the Astros. So I think those are probably the two biggest strengths of the Astros over the last decade or so.
Right now, we're talking to Robert Ford here for a couple more minutes, just taking a closer look at the Royals' next opponent in the Houston Astros. From a pitching perspective, how do you think the Astros match up with the Royals? The Royals are 26th in offense. How do you think the Astros pitching staff lines up with the Royals in this series?
I mean, the Royals pitching staff is really good. I think the Astros pitching staff, though, is about as good as anyone's, especially when they're healthy, which they're not completely right now. You know, Spencer Arrighetti is out right now. Hayden Wesneski, who got off to a great start after coming over in the Kyle Tucker trade from the Cubs, he's out right now with an elbow injury. So the rotation is not quite at full strength. But even without that, you know, Framber Valdez is going to start the second game of the series. He's coming off a really strong outing against the Brewers. A bit of a slow start to the year for him, but he's as talented as any pitcher in baseball. And then you think about Hunter Brown, who the Royals are going to miss in this series. He's gotten off to as good of a start as any pitcher in baseball this year, and he's basically carrying over what he did for much of last year. So I think when you look at the Astros rotation and you look at the back end of their bullpen, it's about as good as any team out there. So, I mean, I'd take the Astros pitching against anybody.
I was just going to ask you about Hunter Brown. I'm reading a little bit more on the Astros, and it says that he's uncertain to go in their third game. If he doesn't go for the Astros, who would take his place?
Well, the Astros are going to a six-man rotation right now. Hunter Brown could start that third game, as you mentioned, on regular rest, but the Astros want to go to a six-man rotation because this weekend started a stretch of 17 straight games. So Hunter Brown's going to get pushed back. It's TBA for that last game. There's a very good chance that the Astros will call up a pitcher from AAA. The most likely candidate would be Colton Gordon, who's a left-hander. When he does pitch in a game, it would be his big league debut. But it's likely that that TBA spot for the Astros rotation on Wednesday will be a call-up from AAA.
I asked you how you thought the Royals matched up against the Astros pitching. I'll ask you the same question on the other side. You mentioned the Astros pitching has been very good. The Royals have been very good in this so far this season as well. You got Michael Wacha, Chris Bubich, and Michael Lorenzen. So you don't get Lugo. You also don't get Reagans. But Bubich has been as good as anybody as well, and Wacha and Lorenzen have certainly pitched well as well. How do you feel from the other side? How do you think the Astros lines up against the Royals pitching?
Well, I think it comes down to being able to capitalize as an offense or whatever opportunities you get. And that's something that has been hit or miss for the Astros at this point. You think about the series these two teams played a couple of weeks ago in Kansas City where the Royals shut out the Astros 2 days in a row. Those are situations where the Royals pitch well, but when the Astros did have opportunities, they weren't able to cash in. So I think that's what you have to do against the teams that pitch well, especially really good starters, is when you do get opportunities, because it's rare that you have a game where you just have no scoring chances. Sometimes that happens and you just tip your cap, but most of the time you'll have at least one or two chances to put some runs on the board, and you have to be able to cash in on those. And if you're able to do that, then you have a chance to beat even teams with really good pitching, especially if you pitch well against them.
Right now, we're talking to Robert Ford for a couple more minutes here. Rob, who's the most famous person you got to meet as the play-by-play announcer? There's a lot of famous people that are from Houston. You guys have had Simone Biles throw out the first pitch, Megan Thee Stallion throw out the first pitch. Who have you got to meet doing this job?
That's a great question. You know, I usually don't get to meet the people throwing out the first pitches because, you know, they're down on the field and I'm up in the booth at that point. This year, we did have Kelvin Sampson join us. We've had him join us a few times, the head coach at the University of Houston, of course, was at Oklahoma and a few other schools before that. And he's been on with us a few times, big baseball fan, and loves talking baseball with us and basketball with us. As he's certainly up there. I'm trying to think who else I've gotten to meet. I mean, obviously a lot of great players. We had Cal Ripken Jr. join us for a game one year, one of my first years with the Astros. That was a real thrill. Somebody that I grew up watching. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the cool things about getting to do this job. And by the way, there was a White House visit as well in 2023 after the Astros won the 2022 World Series. So I didn't actually get to meet Joe Biden, who was a president at the time, but I was in the same room as the president. And I mean, and being in the White House is about as cool of an experience as you can imagine.
Where do the Astros fit in the conversation? Because you think of Texas, it's obviously a big football state. You've got the Texans there with C.J. Stroud. They've made the playoffs the last couple of years. Houston made a run to the national championship. You guys are always in the mix with the Astros. Where do the Astros fit in the sports conversation in Houston?
Well, I mean, there's no question the Astros are the most popular team in Houston. And that's been true for the last, 8 or 9 years or so, because they've been so successful, had the run of 7 straight ALCS appearances through 2023, have been to the playoffs every year but one since 2015. So you combine that with also the fact that you mentioned the Texans making the playoffs the last couple of years, but before the last couple of years, the Texans went through a pretty fallow period there for a while. So they kind of fell off. The Rockets obviously made it back to the playoffs this year, but they had several down years after James Harden left. So the Astros certainly are it. And then you think about college sports. You mentioned University of Houston and the run their basketball team has been on. But I mean, if you didn't go to University of Houston, you're not as invested in that. And there are a lot of people in Houston who are fans of University of Texas, Texas A&M. Both of which are within reasonable driving distance. So if you're fans of those schools, you're not really all that interested in what University of Houston is doing, especially if you're a Texas fan, since they're now in the Big 12 with them. So I think the Astros, without question, are the most popular sports organization in Houston.
A couple more questions here, Rob. First question is going to be, when you get a hot dog, what are you putting on it? This is a very important question that we ask every baseball person. What are you putting on your dog?
Just mustard. If it's a good hot dog, technically you don't really need anything if it's a really good hot dog, but just a little bit of mustard, some brown mustard preferably, that's got a little bit of a kick. That's all I need.
Last thing here. I've actually never been to Houston. I've never been to the ballpark before. Kansas City as a food city. They actually just put Joe's back inside the stadium, so people are getting that taste for that hometown barbecue. What are you guys known for in the stadium, food-wise?
That's a great question, and I'm probably the worst person to answer it because I'm never at the concession stands at the ballpark. But from what I hear from people, friends of mine who come to games, even people who come in from out of town that are friends of mine, the overall food is really good, and there's a lot of variety. I will say, though, that probably the best options are on the club level. So if you do come to a game in Houston at Daikin Park, try to get into the club level, get seats there, which is the second level of the stadium. That tends to be the best food options from what I understand.
You know what? I'm happy that you said the name of the stadium, because that's always going to be either Enron Field or Minute Maid Park to me. So the fact that you said the new sponsor, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, of course, that's what I would do while I was on 610 Sports, right?
No, 100%. That is our guy, Robert Ford, joining us on the show today. Robert, man, I'm always happy to catch up with you. Really happy for your success, man. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
All right. Likewise, Carrington. Good talking with you.
Absolutely. That is Robert Ford joining us on the show today. He is the Astros play-by-play voice. He used to work here back when we were 610 Sports Radio. So happy for him. Happy to catch up with him and get his thoughts on the Royals as they head down to Houston. We'll talk a little bit more about this coming up in just a little bit. But if you look at the Astros and their success, I mean, outside of the Chiefs, there are not too many organizations that have been more consistent than the Astros over the last 7-8 years. Now, certainly there is an asterisk attached to it, and that's the part that we'll talk about a little bit more as the show continues. But Rob, just taking a look at the big picture for the Astros, other than Kansas City, maybe you would put Philadelphia, the Eagles, in that conversation. There have not been too many teams in American sports that have been better for as long as the Houston Astros have been.
I don't want to say this is the Houston's a small market, because by no metric is Houston a small market, but I would say the Dodgers are in that conversation. But when you look at teams that have been as consistent as the Astros have, outside of football, because football has, if you have the quarterback, the salary cap, the whole deal, it's usually teams that can spend mega money, like the Dodgers are in that category. The Astros have been doing it mostly from develop from within, eject at the right time, and build the next guy up. Like, this team the Royals will face this weekend, I guess starting tonight, is not the same team that they saw in 2014, 2015. There is no Alex Bregman. There is no Carlos Correa. Those guys are still in baseball. They are elsewhere. There is no George Springer. He's still in baseball, but he's elsewhere. Like, even that second wave of Astros guys that won the World Series, like, yeah, they still have, you know, Yordan, the first baseman, but they don't have Kyle Tucker anymore. It's like they have been really successful with three different iterations of their own ball club, which for a team that isn't a mega market like the Dodgers is actually something to, you know, look at and strive for the Royals.
All right, let's transition for just a little bit, and I promise you we'll get back to baseball coming up in a bit, but it has not been officially confirmed, but a lot of the smoke, a lot of the rumor is around that the Chiefs are going to play the Chargers in week one of the NFL season. Now, this game will not be at SoFi Stadium. It doesn't appear that this game is going to be at Arrowhead Stadium. It would appear that this game is going to be in Brazil. Now, it is important to note, this is not taking a home game away from you at Arrowhead. So if you were worried about this, no, the Chargers are the one that are giving up the home game. So you still are going to have your full complement of home games. At least that is what we believe so far. We have only figured out a couple of games confirmed on the schedule. All of this confirmed coming up on Wednesday, but I can only give you the information that we have right now. Other than the field, which is obviously a major part of this, I don't really know as a Chiefs fan why you would be upset about this. Now, some of you are high school parents and you got high school football on Friday, and now you got to adjust your schedule. I mean, I don't really like that the Chiefs are playing, or any NFL team are playing, football games on Friday in the fall. I feel like that is one of those things that we should preserve as a community, as a culture. Hey, the NFL just shouldn't be playing games Friday on the fall. But the NFL has made it clear they don't really care about anybody. They don't care about your Friday night lights anymore. They don't care about Christmas Day. Hey, once football season starts, this is our time now. We are planning on making this entire thing a weekend. So we want your Thursday. We want your Friday. We want your Sunday from start to finish. And we also want your Monday for a double dip. So we'll see how the rest of the schedule shakes itself out. But just as a television property, I will always sign up for any schedule that doesn't have the Chiefs playing Sunday at noon. As somebody who enjoys the luxury of NFL Red Zone, I'm thrilled about this development. I knew they weren't going to play on Thursday because they didn't win the Super Bowl. I mean, I would have either picked Sunday Night Football or I would have picked this Friday game that looks like it's going to be shown on YouTube. So we're all going to probably have a light day that Friday because the Chiefs are playing. They'll probably play at, what, 7 o'clock? You'll watch the Chiefs. You then got your college football. I'm pretty sure the next day is MUKU in Columbia. So that's going to be a big game here locally. You then got your Sunday completely free to either watch more football or do whatever you want to do on that Sunday. Same thing with the Monday. I actually think from a scheduling perspective, this actually kind of works out for everybody.
The only reason I will listen to fans who are complaining about this, because I largely agree with you, was LA a destination road game for Chiefs fans? I would say no, because you have a chance to go to SoFi every single season. Like, SoFi is not one of those, hey, it pops up once every 4 years or 8 years kind of trips. SoFi is on the schedule every single year. So if you were a Chiefs fan who felt like, man, I love going to LA, you get robbed of that this year. But outside of that, and the field issues, which the NFL doesn't seem to care about field issues at any level, whether it be Brazil, America, Super Bowl, regular season game, they don't seem to care. Outside of potentially losing a road trip game to LA, this seems like it's fine for the Chiefs because you're going to be on national television. You're going to be a standalone game, which is great for the brand. You're going to be playing a division game, so you get the division game out of the way early in the season. It's a division road game, which is now a neutral site game. It seems like it's win-win-win, unless you are a fan who wanted to go to LA this year where you lose out, because I don't think fans are heading to Brazil to watch the Chiefs. It would really surprise me if fans would be like, I'm heading to Brazil this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Chiefs fans are going to end up making that trip. I mean, this is a bucket list potential thing that you got a chance to
is
go.
I apologize for interrupting. Is watching NFL football in Brazil bucket list?
Chiefs fans went to Germany to go watch them play not that long. I just think it's one of those things that if you're going to give me 3 months to plan and prepare for it, there certainly is going to be a group of people that go down there. We'll see how many people it is. The Chiefs have certainly become an international brand. They've been the best team in the NFL for the last 5 years, and they're also associated with Taylor Swift. So I imagine you pick up the kind of casuals and bandwagon fans along the way. So I'm not worried at all about potential representation of what that looks like for Kansas City. I also think it's one of those things where I believe Clark Hunt is on the international committee. I'm not sure what his official title is, but I know he is tied up with them in some capacity. The Chiefs are usually going to be the team that just raises their hand and says, all right, we'll participate. And at least my stance on this is, as long as they're giving you guys 8 home games every year, which is what you've been accustomed to, if you've been a season ticket holder for a long time, I just think that sometimes you got to understand that maybe with that 9th game, they're going to play around with it a little bit and play one of those games international. Now, again, that doesn't factor in for this because this is a Chargers home game that they are giving up. But you get your 8 home games. You also get the ability to potentially see them on road in Germany some years. You also get the ability to see them on the road in Brazil some years. I mean, I don't think this is the worst thing for the Chiefs, and more than anything, for a lot of you, a large number of people that are not going to be able to make this trip, how are they making this visible for you? Now, sure, it's going to be on local television. Not all of you live in the Kansas City metro area. I just saw this earlier today as I was getting ready for the show. There are going to be NFL games on 10 different networks this year. When you factor in YouTube, when you factor in Peacock or Paramount Plus or ESPN or Fox, 10 different networks. So the NFL product is starting to really stretch itself and break off pieces and parts of it around the television spectrum. The fact that we believe, and I'm pretty sure that this is going to happen, they are thinking about putting this game on YouTube, not YouTube TV. I'm talking about regular YouTube. Everybody has YouTube on their phone. Everybody has access to YouTube on their smart TV. It is the most popular app in the world. I saw a stat that behind Google, the YouTube search bar is the second most used search bar in the world. So we are not talking about accessibility for anybody in this one. I think this is a really smart play for the Chiefs. This is a really smart play by the NFL from an international and a brand building standpoint. The big question is just going to be the field, which we can go ahead and complain about that now. It's not going to be great. I mean, we've seen enough of these international games, and we saw the disaster last year it was where Jordan Love got hurt, and a major part of it was because of the field. They are willing to sacrifice player safety for the profits at almost every single turn. So that is just something that we're going to have to get used to, and that is something that we will have to knock on wood and discuss at a later time. But I am telling you this now, and I have not seen a picture of the field. But we have done this enough to know, and they have sent the Chiefs off to enough places, the field will not be ideal. In fact, the field will not even be average. It will be bad on that Friday game in Brazil. You already know it.
I mean, that's, come on now. That's a foregone conclusion. But I don't think the NFL cares. Maybe they do, and they just do a bad job of showing it. I think the NFL is more interested in having its product in new and exciting markets and developing fans than they are the safety of the players in that game. Because maybe they were talking about Brazil, but I had only heard about it before last season. Now they're in a second straight game in Brazil. There are talks of playing games in Ireland. I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is on a commercial with some company, I believe Jameson, trying to promote to get an NFL game in Ireland. I've heard Roger Goodell on Pat McAfee's show talk about maybe Australia as an option. Like, they are just all about expanding the brand, and it seems like outside of those mega European soccer facilities that can house a football game, most of the actual field, turf, and all the things around a game aren't as great. But the NFL does not seem to care because they keep putting their game international because eyeballs matter to them more than anything.
Someone on the text line says, "See that? I thought I heard that you were going to need YouTube TV to watch." No, the plan for this Friday game is going to be to stream it through regular YouTube, not through YouTube TV. So the same app that comes on your phone, the same app that is on your smart television that you don't need a subscription for. You don't need a subscription. Now, you got ads and they got a pay version of YouTube. We all know how YouTube works, but at least the plan is going to be, and I'm sure they'll announce it at some point this week, the plan for this game is to distribute it on regular YouTube. So we'll obviously find out as we are waiting for the official schedule to come out, and that schedule will be on Friday. Someone on the text line said, "I don't like division games overseas, and the NFL shouldn't be on Fridays in the fall, as you said. I'll be at my son's high school game." I mean, I agree with you. I don't like that they are doing this. I don't like that the NFL has just randomly decided that we're going to start playing football games on Friday in the fall. That used to be something that was sacred that they would have never done, but the NFL's greed, they certainly know no bounds. If they don't care about Jesus' birthday, they certainly don't care about your kid's high school football game that you were going to be missing. And for all the people that won't be able to watch it, they are planning on there will be enough other people that make the decision to stay in that Friday to watch football. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about, is it possible that Giannis is going to be traded? We'll discuss it next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike Scott.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. Let's talk about one of the top stories right now in sports. So the Milwaukee Bucks, they very quickly were eliminated from the NBA playoffs. That is starting to become a common theme for the Milwaukee Bucks. So what usually happens at the end of an NBA season is we start to ask questions about its stars. What's your plan? What are you thinking about doing? Well, people are starting to ask this question about Giannis. He is turning 30 years old, and it would appear at least the heyday for the Milwaukee Bucks, it seems to be in the rearview mirror. Well, it sounds like Giannis is open to a trade.
Greeny, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two-time NBA MVP, he has not made any firm decisions about his future. But sources tell me for the first time in his 12-year NBA career, he's open-minded about whether his best fit is in Milwaukee or playing elsewhere and exploring what those options outside of Milwaukee look like. Is it sensible for him to potentially leave? And I'm here in Chicago. This is the summit of Giannis Antetokounmpo. All 30 decision-makers are descending upon this city now. Agents all in town. There's going to be plenty of natural, substantive conversations that are going to be taking place here. And we've known over the last several years, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been very open-minded about at least expressing that he is going to explore options because his goal is to win a championship. He said it over the years that my goal, I only want to win and compete for rings.
Now, if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, I don't know how mad you could be at Giannis if he eventually gets traded. I mean, he did bring you a championship, and if you show the loyalty that Giannis has showed and you've also won yourself a championship, that usually gives you the freedom to explore what you want to do. So we'll see how this plays itself out. But I will say, one thing is usually true in the NBA. Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, it is very, very difficult to put it back inside. Now, this is just speculation at this point. Now, I would say it's pretty good speculation from Shams, who is the top basketball reporter in the world. But it is speculation all the same. If Giannis communicates that he wants to be traded, he will be traded. And we are talking about one of the greatest players in league history who could be on the chopping block and who could potentially be leaving. Rob, if we had to throw out there, who makes the most sense to go get Giannis? There's two teams to me that move to the front of the list. I would say number one is San Antonio. If you could envision a scenario in which you pair Giannis, De'Aaron Fox, and Victor Wembanyama, and that's your big three, you move potentially to the top of the NBA. I would also say Houston is another team that makes a lot of sense. They have the right combination of young, very talented players, draft picks, cap space, and flexibility to go out there and do it. If I had to kind of project this thing right now, I would say those are the two teams that make the most sense to try to make a play to go get Giannis.
This is going to be my question, and I don't know the answer, so I'm hoping you do. Do the Thunder still have a stockpile of all those picks? Because Sam Presti and co. down in Oklahoma were for a while there just pocketing draft picks in every single trade they made. At one point, they had multiple picks in like 5, 6, 7 years ahead of drafts. Now, I don't know that offhand, but if the Thunder have still a war chest full of picks, whether it be their own or other teams or whatever, because I know they're all stockpiling to make one big mega trade. They've never made that mega trade. If they have that, you know, war chest of picks, they feel like they would be the team. We're seeing live in real time, they're a really good basketball team in the regular season, but they're struggling in the postseason. They struggled in the postseason last year. If you can get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren next to Giannis, you have a formidable group. I just don't know what the situation is with their picks because I don't remember them offloading them at any point.
Well, to give you an idea, they have 3 first-round picks this year. They have 2 first-round picks in 2026, 2 first-round picks in 2027, and we don't even got to start talking about their second-round picks. They basically have at least 3 or 4 second-round picks in every draft up until 2030. We don't have to get deep into the picks for the Oklahoma City Thunder, but you mentioned Chet Holmgren. You are not keeping Chet Holmgren if I'm giving you Giannis Antetokounmpo. We need him. We maybe need Jalen Williams, and then we'll take some of those first-round picks. I'm asking for a treasure chest. Don't let the Luka Doncic trade fool you and think that we are only taking one player in exchange for us giving you one of the best players in the league. So, yes, I want a very talented young big coming back to us in Chet Holmgren. I'm also going to need another really good player, and we will then consider giving you Giannis in this scenario. That's the only way I'm playing this if you're Milwaukee. You still probably have, I would say, what, 2 to maybe 4 years of prime Giannis? I actually think his game's going to age very well. He's never been a great outside shooter. Still very athletic, still long, still can get to the basket. One of the better finishers in the league. So we're not talking about a guy who you think is going to diminish very rapidly. Never really had a serious injury history. I would feel very comfortable making a trade for Giannis and also committing financially to him. It's now just trying to find the right spot that would make the most sense for him. Let's move on from Giannis. We'll see what happens. Let's move to the New York Knicks and the Celtics coming up today. Now, I didn't think I would say this because usually if you have the 2-1 advantage, usually you are in the driver's seat. Man, it don't feel that way in this series, not between the Celtics and the Knicks. So to give you an idea, the Celtics and the Knicks have played each other 7 times this year if you include the regular season. The Celtics have led by at least 20 points in 6 of those games. Now, I'm not here to take away with what the Knicks have done so far, but it feels to me a lot more like Boston lost those first 2 games than the Knicks outplayed them in those first 2 games. Now, you won them, but you got to beat Boston 2 more times. And at some point, Rob, the Knicks have to outplay the Boston Celtics. And I don't really think at any point in this series you have seen them outplay the Boston Celtics. They've had more points at the end of the game. They have not outplayed them in really any capacity. It's very simple for the Celtics. I would say more than any other team in basketball, they're so predicated on making threes. It's a make or miss game. They were 10 for 40 in game one. They were 5 of 40 in game two. They were 20 of 40 in game three. It's not a surprise which games they won and which games that they lost. If this is going to continue to simply be is Boston making their threes, then Boston, I think, over a seven-game series will just make more threes than what the Knicks can do. The Knicks at some point have to go outplay the Boston Celtics, and they just haven't done that yet in this series.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually they get one. You're right. They have won two games, but they have been outplayed in all three. But no one felt like Celtics, Knicks are going to be a sweep. So you feel like eventually over the course of a series, the Knicks do get a game where they just outplay the Celtics. I mean, let's look at the Celtics first series. There was a game where they just got outplayed by the Magic, and no one thinks the Magic are a good basketball team. The question becomes, if the Knicks can get that game and they get it in the Garden and they go up 3-1, does it matter? Because then the math is just on your side. All we need is another solid game or a bad shooting day from you, and we're going on. I think the Knicks have that great game in them because that's just what happens over a, you know, seven-game series. We haven't seen it yet. It should be 3-0 Boston. It's 2-1 New York. If they get that game, they can stranglehold the series in one game, and it doesn't really matter what happens from there.
Well, I mean, if they're going to get that game, they need Jalen Brunson to be a lot better than he's been so far in this season. Jalen Brunson ain't been good in this series. Not at all. Like, not even close to good enough in this series. So, the Knicks, hey, you're at home today. It's game four. The crowd's going to be rocking. I mean, Boston just shot you out of it early. They were up 36-20 at the end of the first quarter, and then they outscored them by 9 in the second quarter. Well, if you're going to start the second half of the game down 24 against maybe the best team in the league, you just don't really have a realistic chance of winning that game. Can the Knicks keep this close in this? And can they just run Boston off of the three-point line? If they're going to – they outscored the Knicks by 45 points from the free throw line in game three. You get blown out in that scenario, and that's exactly what happened to them in game three. Let's get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. Man, the formula is simple for the boys in blue. We'll discuss it. Keep it right here. So drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.